you going to say? Okay, go ahead. You can sit right behind Mimi if you like, or you can go in the back if you like. Which one do you want to do?
I think we'll go in the back.
Okay. Kind of warm back there. Trying to get situated tonight, and thank God for moving for assisted. Elder Rogers and her mom today, and kind of works some things out. The Lord kind of moved for her today, and I really appreciate that. I thank the Lord. We're going to look at the Word of God tonight, and I said this week I was going to finish Age of Ages, and I was also going to look at going into Romans, and I'm just about finished, I think, in the lesson of Great House, and we've really spent some time concerning that, and I think I might have one more lesson out of that on Sunday morning. But for tonight, I'm going to, I don't know if everybody has their Age of Ages with them. Chandra's not here, so I have a hard time putting it on the board. But I think tonight, just for the sake of it, I can ask the question. Let me see what I have out here. Ella Harrison, Elder Latham, and I have India. And I can ask the question, are there any questions concerning this lesson that any of you have concerning it that you'd like to have cleared up? Someone is oftentimes saying to me that when we teach and when we have lessons, that they would like it better if the lessons were interactive, or that people had questions and did those. Well, I'm all in favor of that. I could do that. But you know, if you teach clear enough, sometimes you just don't have questions.
Right. Yes.
But I would ask that question tonight. And if not, I want to go to two Romans tonight. No, actually, what I really want to do is pick a point in Hebrews that I felt the other night. Let's go to Hebrews for a moment. Another one of my favorite books. I'm in kind of I don't want to use the word limbo. That's not good, because that refers to one of the places that people like to use when they sit there between heaven and hell. But I'm watching a lot of what people are teaching and what they're preaching these days. I'm looking at it because I want to know who's doing what that's getting people to heaven. That's what I want to know. I'm not looking at different people teaching and preaching. I was looking at the conference they had in Tennessee this weekend, and I saw a whole lot of pictures of and a whole lot of people talked about blessings and everything else, but I could never hear anybody, maybe I'm sure somebody's preaching and teaching is on there somewhere to see what they're preaching and teaching, and I'm not really looking to see what they're preaching and teaching like I'm sitting as the judge and I want to rate them or do that. I really like to hear what they're saying about God and how they're going about it. I want to see what people are doing in this day and time to be more successful in winning souls to God. And I also want to see if what they're teaching and what they're preaching is very good for this present time, or if it's only good for this present time, or is it good for this present time and for the future?
Future, yes.
Like I said, you know, I said Hebrews 4th chapter, and also I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians, probably the 10th chapter, somewhere around in there. Or maybe Romans 10th chapter, maybe that's where it is. I want to know if what we're preaching and teaching, it's not so much what we're preaching and teaching, it's how we go about it so that we win souls and so that we add souls to the kingdom. I want to know if we are getting to the point where the administration of our gospel is such that the Lord is able to use it for people to be saved. And when I look at things and on TV or wherever I look at them, like I said, I look at them for two reasons, to see two things. One I want to see is to know that they are, one, preaching the gospel. That is true. But then I want to know is, are they preaching it or teaching it in a way that's for this? Is it Christ in this life only? Yes. In other words, are you preaching to me for today only, and you're making me feel real good today without telling me that this is really only a foretaste of the glory to come? And because if the only I can be really, really happy. I can't count the millions of times in my life when I've been really, really happy about whatever was going on at the time, both in church, out anywhere, and just ecstatic about it. But that was for that time, and it wasn't lasting. Mm-hmm. And the joy that comes in Christ and in God is everlasting.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, are you not only like in Israel, as Israel was concerned, I want to know, I want to see, and I'm not critical, and I'm not in this regard judging you. That's between you and God. But I want to know, are you giving the people the promise and the promises, or are you just giving them the promises? Is it the land that flows with milk and honey with no thought of what the land of milk and honey represents and the life that's greater to come? So I look to see who's, you know, if you're giving everyone an emotional uplift for today, which everybody needs, and I'm certainly not opposed to that. I would rather see you build people up than tear them down any time of the week. But I'm also looking to see, not from a critical standpoint of view, but I'm just looking to see, did you give them anything that lasts throughout eternity?
Right, yes.
Or did you just fix what's wrong today?
Yes.
Did you give them enough Jesus so that they, Jesus is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, his death, burial, resurrection, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's powerful grace, the favor of God, the love of God. That's like when you build in, that's like Norton on my computer. You know, put Norton on my computer and Norton fixes what breaks later.
Right.
It's not just what's broke at the moment. It fixes what breaks later.
Yes.
It looks for things that I don't even know that are there and fixes them. And so sometimes I'm wondering, and sometimes I even consider, I said, am I getting too old to preach? Is my way and my style just so that it's just not for the times?
Right.
Maybe not. And maybe you just need to have someone else do all the preaching and teaching and doing something else because I'm just not relating. But I do have this desire that you would not, that I would not, that the word of God and the time you spend in God would not just fix your present, but it would fix your future.
Future, yes.
That it wouldn't just take care of what you're going through today. It is a word for today, but it would also be a word for tomorrow. And that you, so it's not the, it's not only the fix that I'm trying to give you when I preach and teach, it's the source.
Yes.
So that you can, so that if you're not getting, if any one of us is not there to keep encouraging you and saying the Lord will bring you out, the Lord will bring you out, you have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Who says that the Lord will bring you out. He bears witness of you. And so I want to look at a couple of scriptures today, and I want to look in, I'm going to look in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and I think I'm going to go to also 1 Corinthians, let's see if it's 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Write these down. Hebrews 4, 1 Corinthians 10. And also I'm going to go to John, I think it is. And let's see. I'm going to go to John, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to read in both the King James and New King James. I'm reading out of both, but for those of you who, you know, some of us, you know, I recommended that we go to New King James because the wording is easier, but it seems to be very hard for some of us who use the King James Bible to make that translation, and if that's difficult for you, then don't worry about that. I mean, read what you're comfortable with. I only offer it because it offers some clarity in words, and I don't see any reason in reading your Bible not understanding what you're reading.
Right. Yes.
If you don't know what the WOT, what, where it says, Mary says to Jesus, what not, where they lay him. If you don't understand that word means I don't know,
yeah.
Then then you need to read a version where you understand what it means.
Right, yes.
And if you're still saying that God gave Eve to be a helpmeet for Adam, you need to read something that lets you know that there's no such thing, that the word meet means fit or right for,
yes,
or appropriate for. There's no such thing as a helpmeet. It's the wording. So I suggested that you use a different translation in order to get the wording right. But I seem to get a lot of pushback on that, so I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I'm going on in God. Look at John, the 5th chapter. And about verse number 29. I like that. I'll even start at 28. And actually, get the thought, I got to go back to 26, huh? Mm-hmm. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That's saying a whole lot, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He has life in himself. Don't ever mistake. I know we talk a lot about speaking things or speaking positively or not giving the devil due or not saying this or saying that. But don't ever think, even though God moves by our words and God honors them and the power of God goes forth, don't ever think that you of yourself can speak anything into anything. You're depending on God to move because your faith in him. And the power that moves is God, is never me.
Yes.
It's always God. I do not have creative power so that I can speak things into existence. God brings things into existence. God does that. And he, in Romans, the 4th chapter, when it says he called those things to be is that were not, that's God doing that.
Yeah.
The Word of God says very clearly that all things were created by him, and for him, without him, was nothing made that was made.
Yes.
So sometimes I think people overstep. I get it. I understand the faith of and the power of what we say in proclaiming God. But don't get lost in that. That movement works when you have given that anointing by God and you have that faith and that connection. You have that relationship with God. Because far too much, I see people walking around trying to speak things and speak this and speak that. I'm about to die. I'm about to say, yeah, but I'm the healed of the Lord, though. I ain't claiming this sickness. If you got cancer, you got cancer.
Yeah, that's right.
And you need to ask God to heal you.
That's right.
It doesn't do any good to deny it. One time, a long time ago, we were in Germany, and this lady, can't remember her name now, she was saying, Bishop Lee asked her, she says, your husband saved? She said, yeah, he saved. Bishop Lee said, where are you home? She said, he saved? Well, I'm claiming him saved. Can't claim nobody saved. God, we would have saved the universe by now.
Yes.
Well, I would have.
Yes.
Salvation is something that everybody has to, the best you can do, really, is give them the life of Christ, and the best way you can do that is let them see Christ's life in you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can bring them to a point where they're doing. When I was under heavy faith teaching doctrine, we were doing all kinds of things. Until one day, it dawned on me. I said, "Why is it that I keep saying the Lord's going to move, 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 the Lord's going to move?" And if one thought goes to my mind, what if he doesn't? Then all of a sudden, I've blown everything.
Yeah.
I had to grow to the point where I realized that God does what he does.
Yes.
Though I'm, you know, whether I believe not, he yet abideth faithful, the will of God be so. So that I would trust that the will of the Lord would be done. And get to a point where I stopped blaming myself for everything that I prayed for and God that God didn't do.
Yeah.
So, well, you know what? I don't know about that, Bishop Smith. Listen, no one sitting here and no one I know has had God move every time they prayed.
No.
Because we'd all be millionaires by now.
Right.
And there's so many things that I like that God intended to be a trial so that we would learn to lean and depend on him. If we had had our way, we would have had it over and done with immediately. And we would not have grown.
Yes.
Because we'd be like spoiled children, like my grandson. You just give them everything. And so the thought of asking for something and having it not happen doesn't even occur.
Yes.
And we would never grow up.
Right.
Because every time we would never grow to love God for who God is. We keep him, we have him as a genie or an amulet or something. But when we got into real, when we really got in trouble and things were really difficult and God didn't come through, we give up on God.
Yes.
So trials are there for us to grow by. We're strengthened by them. The chastening of the Lord, the correcting of the Lord, the bringing us in line. So back to that, I know what the Word of God says. And I know a lot of people, you know, give me a lot, they'll say to me, no. You can speak this, you can speak that. You can have no more power in God than you have faith. And you, and then God measures and decides on himself. Do you really think Job would have gone through as long as he did if he could just speak it and cause it to happen?
Right.
God was allowing, was testing him, and Job was someone who's much greater than any of us.
Yeah.
Because there is none of us that God would actually say to the devil, I bet you can't get him. He surely hadn't said it about me. Many times as I've faltered and stumbled and whatever, so I sure ain't somebody he can put up and say, hey, have you tried my servant so and so? And the trials that I go through are enough.
Yes.
They are. You know, they had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. And he wouldn't have the part that says, will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, if there didn't exist a temptation that you couldn't go through. Always remember, whatever your trials are, God has limited them. Because there is a temptation and a trial that you could not
bear.
That's right. Otherwise, it wouldn't say, he will not allow you to be tried beyond that you are able to bear. He knows my limits. David knew that.
Yes.
David said that in one place. He said, the Lord knows my frame. He knows my makeup. He knows how far I can go and still stay saved. He knows what comes in my life that would actually overthrow me. So we have to be careful how we do that, especially because I've seen people give up. As my walk coming up, I've seen people give up because they've seen people declare it and do all these things, and when they tried it, and you know what it does? It causes them to stop believing.
Yes.
Causes them to stop believing. When you don't grow up, if you don't grow up in a consistent growth in God, and understand what trials are for. It is better the will of God be so that you suffer for Christ, Peter says. The will of God be so that you suffer. The will of God be so that you suffer. If it was up to my will, I'd never suffer. Who would? And then God is so gracious and so merciful, he knows how long we can suffer. Even his only begotten son, he only left him on the cross for 6 hours. He didn't let him hang out there for 3 or 4 days.
Right.
By the time the Romans got around to broken legs, breaking legs, God had already, he was done.
He was gone,
You didn't have to do that. By the time they stuck the spear in his side, he was already gone. God, you know, put him through all he put him through, but he said, I ain't going to let my son go through no spear in his side now.
Mm-hmm.
They can stick it in there, but he's done.
He's gone.
And so everything we go through, so we have to be careful and really have people grow in God. He says in this verse, the Father has life in himself, so also in the Son. So I was saying, we need to get a really good foundation in Christ and understanding. And has given him an authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. The time is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. That's talking about what?
The rapture.
The resurrection. Talking about the resurrection. And shall come forth, and they that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. And we know that for those of us who are Bible scholars, we know that in that one verse is the distance of 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
All those that have done good are resurrected into the resurrection of life. That's the first resurrection. Mm-hmm. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on whom the second death has no power. Anybody not familiar with that scripture? India, are you familiar with that scripture? Of course you are. Right? Revelations 20 and 6. You are familiar with that, right? Okay, I got it. You can turn your mic on unless you've got blues music playing in the background. So then, I mean, anybody can open their mic as long as you don't have something going on in the background. Mm-hmm. And if you do happen to open your mic because you keep it closed, you don't have to unmute each time. Just hit your space bar, and you can answer. Your space bar will unmute you, and when you let it go, you'll be remuted. Yeah, he's saying he's making this point, so let me keep going. I can of my own self do nothing. Now, if Jesus says he can of his own self do nothing, then how are we trying to say that?
Yes.
Right. Or did I read it wrong?
No.
I can of my self do nothing. Mm-hmm. I can of my own self do nothing. Everybody see where I am in 30?
Yes.
As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, he writes in this, which is 31, my witness is not true. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If I come proclaiming me, then I have a problem. You know how people get up and talk about all that they can do? There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye may be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness, he says in 36, than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. In other words, this is where I'm saying, if we're growing in God, you're supposed to be winning people to Christ. Y'all should have saw Brother Ellis Sturgis the other day. This guy's riding on right down the street on a bicycle. Sturgis yells out at him. He said, "Hey, you ought to come fellowship with us." Guy turned around and came back. And it really came out good. He talked to him. And I'm hoping he'll come to find out. You know, guy was riding his bike and come to find out. He says, "Well, does your church do community service?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "I have to do so many hours of community service. Can I do it there?" And we said, "Yeah, sure. I'll write you a letter. You know, you can do community service here. We're a 501c3 organization. We're registered. We're in Florida." So we gave him a card. Now, whether he comes back or not, we will see. But it was amazing to see see him just call him out on the street. He's just riding down the street. That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's what we're supposed to do. You know, and that's the testimony and the witness that we're supposed to have. You can count all the miracles. You can count all the things you want to do and testimonies you want to do them in God. But if they're not producing more fruit, then what is the point? We are maybe encouraging ourselves, and we love it, especially if you're getting a miracle. I'm sure you love it. But are we adding to the kingdom of God? Are we moving in such a way? So then you have to ask yourself, when are you going to grow up to the point where you don't need all God's blessings just to give you sufficiency so that you have enough that you overflow? When are you going to have enough of a move in the spirit, or enough of a prayer life, so that your prayer life overflows?
Yes.
So that all your praying isn't just done for you. It overflows. And it's not because you... I have a great intercessory ministry. Listen, no meek person brags about being meek.
No.
They just are.
Yes.
Nice people don't brag about being nice. And people who empathize and are able to pray and reach out to other people don't brag about being able to reach out to other people. They just do it.
Right.
It's what they do.
What they are.
He says, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me, the healing, the deliverance, and the people who are drawn to me by this." Remember when the man is let down through the roof, born the quadriplegic person, Jesus' first concern is that his sins are forgiven.
Yes.
That's the priority. I think we lose that priority. And we deal with, you know, this man's a quadriplegic. My God, he needs to walk. Everybody around him needs for him to walk. The people carrying him need for him to walk. He's a burden to himself and everybody around him. Somebody's got to feed him. He can't work. Somebody's supporting him. God knows he needs some help, literally. And none of that is as great as his sins being forgiven.
Right, yes.
No. None of that has priority to his sins being forgiven. And Jesus says to them, the truth of it, everybody's read. Anybody has not read that account in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, hands, anybody who hasn't read it? Jesus says to them, he says in so many words, if you really want to see what he says, whether it's easy to say thy sins are forgiven or rise, take up your bread and walk, he says, so that you know, he says, the truth of it is, for me to heal you is a piece of cake. I really don't have to die for you to be healed. And I don't have to be resurrected for you to be healed. But I do have to die and be resurrected for you to be saved.
Yes.
His great power which he wrought when he raised his son from the dead, his exceeding great power.
Yes.
He says, that's really, that takes some doing to get you saved. Christ does not have to die for you to have a new house, new car, be successful on your job, find a husband, find a wife, work out your marriage, get your kids out of the street, get them off drugs, and so forth and so on. And the list is endless. But he absolutely has to die and be resurrected for me to be saved.
Yes, yes.
That has to happen. That power which God wrought in him, that exceeding great power, of raising him from the dead, not only raising him from the dead, but raising him from the dead into immortality, breaking sin and death's power. You see, when Lazarus and Jairus' daughter are raised from the dead, sin and death's power is not broken. They both die again, going all the way back to Elijah's time and the man who and the little boy that he raised from the dead, or Elisha's time, the boy he raised from the dead and the man they threw in there on his bones and he was resurrected from the dead.
Yes.
Going all the way back to those times. They were resurrected again into mortality.
Yes.
But God breaks death's power and shows Satan and death that I have power over death. I have power over death, because this is the taunt that Satan has always taunted all the saints with up until Jesus' time. You can live as long as you want to, but you're going to die and you're going to end up in a compartment of hell called paradise. Through all this, their lifetime, they were had fear of death. And so he destroys the power for as much then as we're partakers of flesh and blood, are human, he himself took part of the same, and through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that he might, that is the devil, and deliver us who through fear of death all our lifetime suffering the bondage. Hebrews 2, 15, 14, and 15. So then Jesus says to them, he says, the same works that I do bear witness of me, and the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice in any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent him, ye believe not. In other words, he says, in all the things that I've done, you haven't learned the Father yet. He says, in every place I've preached and I've taught, he says, you've eaten the fish and you've seen. And he speaks it out. This is in the fifth chapter. In the sixth chapter, he says it more plainly. He says, out of all the miracles and things that I've done, you've enjoyed the blessing and you haven't seen the Father yet. And you enjoy all the miracles, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he had sent, ye have not believed. He says, you haven't got the revelation yet of why the miracles are being done, why the healings. He says, you should know who I am, because the scriptures bear witness of me, and you're all Jewish believers, and you've been reading this, they had the Old Testament, you've been reading it day and night for 1,000 years, and yet when I show up, you get the miracles, but you don't get the revelation. This is my concern. You want the blessings, but you don't have the life. You're not hungering and thirsting for the life. You want, you're like Israel in Egypt. You want deliverance from Pharaoh. You want deliverance from the Egyptians. But you don't necessarily want to go into Canaan.
Right, yes.
You want to come out from under the whip, whatever the whip is that you're under, whatever bondage that you're under. And that's why when you go and you feel good, you say, I feel so free, I'm so all right. But have you merely gone through the Red Sea, or are you in Canaan? Which one is it?
Yes.
Because many of them only went as far as the wilderness. They never made it to Canaan.
That's right. Your father. That's right.
And let me finish this so I can go. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
Wow.
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? That's why people don't like to talk about Jesus. And then they say, well, you know, Bishop, your words are just so hard. We need to be, you know, more casual, not so rough. This is Jesus speaking. Hello, this is Jesus speaking. Right? Is it or is it not?
It's in red.
Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, he says, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. In other words, he's saying, don't think that I'm the one who's going to sit around and say to the Father, look, Father, they won't believe him. He says, Moses is going to do that. He says, even Moses, whom you trust. Because Moses is the one who said that he's not going to be afraid, ashamed to call himself brethren. That's in Hebrews 2.
Right, yes.
That's the reason in Hebrews. Moses is going to own me.
Yes.
He's going to own up and say, I am who I am.
Yes.
But had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote. But he wrote of me.
Yes.
But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And he went on. There's another place where he says, and I'm finishing up on this, because another one he says to them, not only this do I bear witness, but also the Holy Spirit. And that was the one I really wanted to. But I'm going to leave you with that part right there. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And I want to go back to the part where he says about how can you believe which receive honor one of another, and you seek not the honor that to come from God only? I want to look at this, and I'm almost done tonight. 1 Corinthians Bible study an hour. I don't think that I don't mind going for an hour and letting the Holy Ghost let me go. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Everybody stay with me for a moment. Remember what I said earlier about, and this goes in also with 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only, because he's preaching of the resurrection. And 1 Corinthians 15 is an indictment, if I can use that word, against all the people who preach Christ and don't preach the resurrection.
Right,
yes. He makes the point that without the resurrection of Christ, it is a waste of time to even have it.
Right, yes.
If you don't believe in the resurrection, he says that your preaching is vain,
yes,
and your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. You are wasting your time if you're not going to tell me about the resurrection and eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, and so to go down and to make sure that everybody understands that, you can look over in 1 Corinthians 15 and read the line and go right back to 10. Because Paul was serious about what he was doing. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, in 19, if in this life only we have hope, and then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, or all men, as he writes in New King James, most pitiful. If the only thing we want Christ for is so we can keep being delivered, and we keep running here being delivered in the earth.
Yes.
And I must be the only God. Sometimes I do feel like Elijah. I feel like I'm the only person who's saying, why don't you take delivering power with you?
Yes.
Why do you not have delivering power with you? Sometimes God puts you in a situation where you need deliverance, and there is no one there to help you be delivered. ain't nobody I can call. I ain't got nobody. I was going through and there wasn't nobody I could call. You could have called on God if you had known that. And I'm responsible for helping you to know that. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not doing what I'm called to do. I'm supposed to point you to the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world.
Yes.
Not to the temple, not to Caiaphas, not to Annas, not to Pilate. I'm supposed to point you to the one who takes away the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
That's the key. And that he feeds you, he's the one who takes away the sins of the whole world. That he heals you is to let you know he's the one who takes away the sins of the whole world. That he raises you from the dead is so that you know that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. So that you follow him.
Yes.
And stop crossing the river just to get more food. I'm on one side, I'll feed you. When I cross the other side overnight, you find out I'm on the other side, so you jump up and run over there because you need more food. Then when I move to the next town, here you come. You follow me to the next town. And I keep telling you, Jesus keeps telling them, everything I'm giving you comes from my Father.
Yes.
The work I do is the Father's work. The blessings are the Father's blessings. He even says to them, you're looking for me just because you're getting the earthly blessings. You want the fish and the loaves. He says, what you should really want is the power that gives the miracle.
Miracles, yes.
You should want the miracle working power dwelling in you. So that you don't go in, so that when you sense yourself being too frustrated and too disgusted and you're going through and all of a sudden and you're about to get depressed, you're able to say, oh, no, 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 no. Mm-hmm. Not going to be depressed now.
All right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Too far. You need a line in the sand.
Yes.
Where you say, that's the devil.
Yes.
Now, I've played with you all day long. I'm wrong for playing with you. Yes. And I've let you entertain me all day long. I'm wrong for that, too.
Yes.
And I've let you hang out in my mind all day long. Okay, I'm wrong for that. But when it comes down to me killing myself, leaving the Lord or whatever, oh no, we're not going there. I shouldn't have put up with you all day.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have put up with you all week.
Yes.
But when you come down to saying, I think I just need to just stop living. Oh no.
No, no, no.
Because life dwells in me.
Yes.
And I didn't give myself life.
Yes.
And you're not going to cause me to give my life away.
Right.
Life, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit when I say life. The life, not just mortal life dwells in me.
Life.
God's life dwells in me in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he's there. He's the one. And that's the reason why David says, weeping may endure for a night. Your night might be a month. But the point of it is joy comes in the morning. The Lord only allows you to suffer as long as until you get it that I need to do something different. I need to call on him. I can muster up enough of the Holy Ghost to call on him. And when I do call on him, I'm ready then to, when God brings you through that much breaking, when you do call on God, you're supposed to be ready to say, Lord, here I am. I surrender.
Yes.
And if he doesn't bring you to a surrendering, then your trial has been in vain. And you will go through it again. If it hasn't brought you to a surrender, then you will go through it
again.
You need to come to the point where you say, Lord, look at me and look how foolish I am. I've been mad with you all day. I'm speaking from experience.
Yes, yes.
It's not theory. Be like Elijah. Get scared of Jezebel, and everybody's like, he had no business being scared of no woman. It was Jezebel he's running from. You running from somebody named Jezebel. You sit home one halfway come to church and one halfway come to God, and it ain't Jezebel chasing you. We don't even rate a powerful demon. Such as it does, only takes a small one to keep you out of prayer. And when you come to it, Lord, God got so mad with Job. Job said one day, one of the things Job said that made God angry, he came close. Job said, "I would that the day was that I wish that it had never been born."
Oh, yes.
And God did not like
that.
Because God is the giver of life.
Yes.
How dare you wish you were never born?
Yes.
One, you had no control over.
Yes.
How dare you? You, rather than come to God, you will wish that you were not here at all. Do you get the gravity of what you're saying? Rather than asking the Lord to lift you up, you would wish that you were not here at all. Does anyone understand the 10 megaton atomic bomb that you're dropping on yourself when you say that? Rather than ask God to deliver you, you'd like to declare, "I wish I had never been born. I should have never been born." Rather than ask the Lord to bring you out. Rather than saying, "Lord, I am just say, Lord, I'm despicable. I have no great faith. There's nothing great about me. And here I am in my poor, pitiful state, contemplating taking my life. Oh, God, forgive me. How wretched am I?" That's not what we're looking for, is it?
No,
we're not looking for that. We're looking for someone to understand us. We're looking for someone to say, I know where you are. I've been there. We're looking for someone to give you an excuse to lay all of your woes on somebody other than you.
Yes.
And never do you stop to come to it that how did you get there? You got into the state you're in while God was sleeping, correct?
No. He never slumbers.
You got into that state while God was visiting the other side of the universe? Is that how you got there? You got in that state while God was watching all along. And he sat right there and said, and watched you as you fidgeted and did all this. And God just sat right there and said, "Look at you. Look at you." That's why it's so important. And I feel like I said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We have got to teach people about Christ. You see what you read tonight? Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people have actually ever read that?
Right.
Meaningfully?
Meaningfully.
Other than just read it through it, just to be reading it?
Yes.
Read it with revelation?
Yes.
And he says in this, if in this life only, if the only thing that you're doing is the only thing you're trying to do is satisfy your life crisis. And God loves to satisfy life crisis.
Yes.
He's able to do abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. You see, because we only use the ask or think on earth. The only thing you're getting out of Christ is satisfying your life crisis. And the only thing about that is when you satisfy one life crisis, since you're still on earth, another one arises.
Yes.
And so then you turn around and you become the person who says, you have a confession, don't they, Elder Sturgis? They have a confession to make. You know what they say? Now this they do say. I don't mean they speak it into existence, but they say the wrong thing. They don't ask God. They say, I sometimes wrestle with bouts of depression. Then you've never been delivered.
Delivered, that's right, yes.
That's like me saying, I tend to wrestle with bouts of smoking cigarettes. Every now and then, you know. I tend to wrestle with bouts of depression. I just use that one because it's easy.
Yeah.
Many others. Well, when you find out that the Lord can deliver you from all of them, of course the devil brings them. Satan is real.
Yeah.
And contrary to what somebody said, when the devil locked up in hell, I wish he was. He's going to be, but he's not right now.
No, he's not.
And besides him, he still has all these demons that are very much loyal to him.
Yeah.
And they come and go at his whim. And he doesn't even have to, in my own mind, now this is speculative on my part,
He doesn't even have to dispatch them. They have his mind.
Yes.
They are like him.
Yeah.
And they have already been given their marching orders. So he doesn't have to one by one name who I need you to attack today. They have their attack orders. Attack anyone and everyone that's in the image of God.
Yes.
Anyone and everyone who's in the image of God, attack them any way you can.
Yep. Seek and destroy.
Exactly.
Seek and destroy.
Exactly. That's their orders.
Yes.
Because they have Satan's mind.
Yes.
They fell because of him. They have his spirit. They have his mind.
Yes.
And when they show up, and frustration begins to mount. You know what you can do sometimes? Sometimes you just need to sit down. Just sit down. He go read your word. Well, that would help, but you might not feel like it. Sometimes you get to a point where you don't feel like reading.
Right.
You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like doing nothing. So you know what you need to do? Be still.
Mm-hmm.
Do like Elijah. He ran all the way out there about 300 miles. God even fed him on the way because he says, I better send an angel to feed him because he ain't through running yet. And I ain't got it to a point yet where I can convince him that I'm not through with him yet. And you know what his biggest concern was? You know what Elijah's concern was, Chandra? What was his concern? Elijah's concern was when Jezebel got after him and seeming like nobody stood up for him after he had done that great miracle, he proclaimed to himself that he was all by himself and there was nobody else to help him, even though God had people all around him, but he couldn't see that at the time. And that's why James uses him as an example. I think it's James or it's a Jude. Uses him as an example and says he was a man of like passion as we are. In other words, he could panic, he could be afraid, he could be, you could spook him like you can us. And why does he tell us this? So that you don't feel like when you have the wrong emotion, you don't feel like God has deserted you.
Right. Yes.
When you settle down, God will be there. And it could be because you got too angry, you got too this, you got too that, you got too frustrated, you got too disgusted. You got to everything. Like God knows. It's like I know and God deliver from the parent who doesn't figure out when their child is only 3, when their child is only 7, only 9 or whatever. Can't identify that when they go through what they go through, you're dealing with this age group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And God gets it. Yes. He knows that when I act like I act, he knows what he's dealing with. He says, well, now, you know, when it really comes down to it, he's just Mormon. He's only been saved. He's been saved longer than a lot of people. But in my days, my God, he's only been saved for a few minutes.
Yes. Yes.
Since one of my days or 1,000 years to him, he's only been saved for a few minutes.
Right.
And I'm still dealing with this body. And the other thing is we need to understand, too, you got to understand just how badly damaged you were being born in sin.
Right. Yes.
And what makes sin so insidious, what makes it such a terrible thing is that it hides, it's like all of us, maybe not Elder Smith so much, and Elder Reed probably a little bit more, but those of us who know anything about computers, you know what makes a Trojan so insidious, makes it so evil, is that it hides itself.
Yes.
And the computer doesn't know it's there.
Right, yes.
And it makes itself seem like everything's all right, but it's doing its damage at the same time. And what makes sin so horrible in us as being humans, even after we're saved, that's why we need to really yield to the Holy Spirit, is that sin knows how to hide itself.
Yes.
The corruption of sin. Our corruption said, well, you know, since the Lord saved me, he set me free from sin and from the power of sin. Well, if he did that as completely as he does it when you're immortal, you have no temptations.
Right.
Nothing ever tempts you. That's why we need the blood.
Yes.
If it was going to come down to a point where you were never going to be tempted again in this mortal body, the blood could be a one-time good deal.
Yes.
That's why when you ask Christ for it, he doesn't say, but you just used the blood 5 minutes ago and you are back again. You just used it yesterday. And my God, you know, last week you used the blood 20 times.
Your time's run out.
It is the faults and fallacies and the shortcomings of this flesh. Well, it is. And the grace of God, the Spirit of God, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, having been set free from sin by his powerful resurrection, that's what keeps us saved.
Yes.
We're saved by grace.
Yes.
We're kept by the power of God.
Yes.
It says that in the Word of God. So yes, you know, call me old fashioned, call me what you want, but I'm leery of people who, I think it's a great thing to go somewhere and have joy and be delivered. I think it's really great, but then it comes up to you to make your calling and election sure. You have to make sure you hold on to it.
Yes.
When Israel came out of Egypt, they were free from Egypt. I mean, he killed Pharaoh. He told Moses to tell the people, you're not even going to see him anymore.
Nope.
It's not the end of your enemies, the end of your trials, but this one is done.
That's right.
And when you come out of what you're in, hey, that might be done. You might be delivered, but you don't want to wander around in the desert until you die out. You want to keep following that pillar of clouds by day and that pillar of fire by night.
Yes.
And you want to obey God so that you come into Canaan.
Yes. Yes.
Not just stop and enjoy being free. Oh, Pharaoh's dead. No, we can, no. Pharaoh's dead, but you're still on earth.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
You slew this giant, but...
Actually,
you didn't slay him. God did.
God did, yes.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. Chapter 10. This is a scary verse, isn't it? Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, I would not that you should be ignorant. How that all of our fathers were in the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in a cloud and in the sea. Our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, they came through a baptism. They came through a form of death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
And they came through the Red Sea.
Yes.
It represented their death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when they came through the Red Sea. They came out of Egypt, which represents sin in the world. They came through the Red Sea, which represents death. And they came up on the other bank. They were resurrected. They were new and they were free.
Yes.
He says, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. In other words, they had the Word of God. They had the ordinances. They had everything that God gave them in the Spirit to teach them about God. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Those miracles were being done by Christ, the one we know as the Son of God. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Oh, red light. Came through this death, burial, and resurrection. They had the Holy Ghost. They had the Word of God. They had the Holy Spirit with them. Cloud of fire by day, by night. The pillar cloud by day. They could see him. They could see the presence of God resting in the temple. I mean, they had everything they needed, and they still got overthrown.
Oh, yeah.
Many of them. Now, these were for our examples to the extent that we should not lust after evil things that they also lusted. And when it talks about lusting after evil things, don't just think lust after women, lust after liquor, lust after cigarettes, lust after drugs. No, evil things of anything that's not God.
Right, yes.
Wanting to be like the other nations around them was an evil thing.
Yes.
Not wanting to obey God all the way to Canaan was an evil thing. Not wanting to have even God's man that he put in here. And that's what makes me so angry when people try to portray themselves as Moses. Listen, God will call you to preach and do things, but stop making yourself be a Moses. You're not a Moses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your trials and your tribulations don't come because you're leading people out of Egypt. Many of them woes you bring on yourself. You're not a Moses. You're not a Moses. You're not a Paul, and you're not a David.
Yes.
Just be who you are.
Yes.
And God will use you. Stop letting people proclaim, he's not Moses. No. Might be your Korah, but he ain't your Moses. Now, these things were for our examples to the extent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust after. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just saying on earth.
Yes, right.
We don't have, be careful of trying to put people in the role of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ suffered for the sins of us because of our sins. He didn't suffer for his own.
No.
You have to be very careful where you thrust a leader into those roles. You can make some comparison because we have the Holy Ghost, but you need to know what the limit is. You need to know when to stop.
Stop, yes.
Don't make them be God now.
Yes.
Now, these things were our examples that we should not lust after evil things that they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and were fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, which means warning. Upon whom the ends of the world are come, or the ages are come.
Yes.
In other words, upon us that are supposed to go into eternal life.
Yes.
These warnings are for us who are supposed to go into
eternal
life. That's why we're warned. And the portion in there where he says, don't tempt the Lord, this is when you name it and claim it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make it happen. You need to know what it means when it says, when it talks about, in Malachi, a lot of people like to use the scripture when he says, prove me now herewith that I will not show you out the ones. In other words, Malachi is not saying that you have the right to just try God anytime you want to do that.
No.
He's saying, do what I ask you to do, and I'm showing you that God will do what he says he will do.
Yes.
One last scripture. Hebrews, because I said that's where I was going, so I'll give it up tonight. After. Air conditioning goes off at a quarter after. Well, it does. Hebrews 4. I have to preach this to myself because I go through, and the devil and his imps, they battle me, and they say the way you preach is too heavy, and the things you say are out of step with the times, and this and that and the other, and people can relate to other people, can't relate to you, And I said, but I just said that. So, yeah, but you speak Greek to everybody, and they don't really understand your words when you speak them. So they come back and preach back to you what you've already just told them, which I don't have a problem with either. 4:1. You just finished reading Hebrews 10:4. You know these people were brought through a form of resurrection. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. That's my concern. That the promise of entering into his rest, you should come short of it. That's my concern for myself.
Yes.
That's what keeps me clean. That's why you purify yourself. You don't want to come short of it. Being brought out, being delivered, having the word of God, the spiritual meat that they had,
yes,
being brought through the Red Sea like they were, and many of them still came up short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But we which have been delivered do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my wrath. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, this is when it's good to have a different interpretation. For we who have believed do enter into a rest, as he had said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He said concerning those people who fell in the wilderness, he said, I'm not going to let them go in, even though I did everything for them to be able to go in before the foundation of the world, but I'm not letting them in. Everybody who's just predestinated, no matter what they do, they're going anyway.
No, they're not.
Right. He says to them, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited the second certain day, and David said, today, after so long a time, it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And then he goes on from there. If Jesus, in this case, it means Joshua, had given them a rest, then he would not have to have spoken of another day. There remaineth, therefore, in verse 9, and that's where I'm going to stop. There remaineth, therefore, a rest for the people of God. After you have been delivered, after you've been brought into brought out of Egypt, after you've gone through, there is still a rest.
what we're looking for, isn't it?
Yes.
Any questions, anybody tonight? There's still a rest. Who did I lose? I thought I had someone else up there. There is still a rest. Everybody standing. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. You should say to yourself, I don't want to come up short.
Amen. Don't want to come up short.
I don't want to come up short. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as I start praying, there were some people, there were some that we were supposed to pray for tonight. I know we were supposed to pray for Elder Rogers' mother and Elder Rogers always, and for Elder Jenkins and for Elder Paulette, who's really going through, and I'm hoping that she's improving by the grace of God. Lord, touch Elder Paulette Harrison and touch Elder Paulette Harrison, oh God, and give her a miracle. Lord, she needs a miracle. Lord, heal her and give her a miracle in the name of Jesus. Who else am I supposed to pray for?
The Jenkins family.
I need it for the Jenkins family. Lord, remember the Jenkins family. They're really having some difficult things, going through some difficult times and some health issues. And Father, give them a miracle. Lord, move for Elder Sister Jenkins, oh God. Lord, give her a miracle, a notable miracle, so that everyone will say it's the miracle working power of God. Oh, Lord, remember Elder Rogers. Lord, give her a notable miracle in the name of Jesus. Lord, my friend from long ago, Lord, his grandson, Lord, has had a major heart operation, oh God. He looks to be 2 years old at most. Lord, I pray, Lord, regulate his heart. Lord, that they may believe. Lord, I call upon you. Lord, I witnessed to him so many times, oh God, but he will not believe. But Lord, for that grandson, Lord, give him an opportunity to live that he may believe, oh God. Regulate that heart. Lord, they say one side is just too weak. Lord, strengthen it in Jesus' name and do what you're able to do and raise him up to be mighty in God. In the name of Jesus. Timaeus, come on, let me pray for you. Call him.
Timaeus.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the saints of God tonight, every one of them.
Yes.
All of us, oh God. Lord, remember Minister Gamble, Lord, her grandfather. Lord, I pray for the Gamble family, oh God. Lord, move on their behalf tonight, Lord. And the will of God be done.
Yes.
Lord, you know all things be done according to thy will. All things according to your will, O God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the man. He's doing better. But Lord, bless him and anoint him in Jesus' name. Bless him in the name of Jesus and fill him with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless Brother Elder Sturgis tonight. I don't know what he has need of, but Lord, he just came to my mind. Lord, bless him tonight. What things he has need of, that, Lord, that do. Lord, that your servant would be encouraged in the way of the Lord in every way, oh God. Lord, move on our behalf. And Lord, for Elder Reed and for Elder Smith. Lord, for Minister Smith and in this new undertaking that she's taking. Lord, bless all of us here in Promise Church. Lord, bless the Negleys as they're on their way back. Lord, always, Lord, set your love and your face upon India, oh God. Lord, your handmaiden, oh Lord. Lord, keep her in the name of Jesus. And the person that I don't have identified, Lord, bless that person also in Jesus' name and keep them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I don't know who all I should pray for, oh God. But Lord, I ask you, oh Lord, to bless me and bless all that I touch. Lord, bless all the people that I touch and the things that I touch. Lord, I desire that all that comes my way, Lord, everything that I touch, Lord, I desire, Lord, that my mind, my affections, my desires, and all that I touch, Lord, would be in the miracle-working power of God. Lord, I surrender to you, your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and to the power of the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, move in us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord, remember the young man that Ellen Sturgis witnessed to, oh God. Lord, give him a mind. Lord, bring it to his mind. Lord, as you did, Lord, Ahasuerus. Lord, as he lays on his bed, bring it to his mind that he said he was going to come by. And Lord, cause a stirring in him, Lord, that he's not able to evade, oh God. Keep us in the love of God. Lord, keep Mother Mary and Emmanuel on the highway, Lord. Let no hurt nor harm befall them, Lord. And camp your angels all around them in Jesus' name. Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for everything you've laid a hand tonight. God bless everybody who's on Zoom tonight. I pray that you're blessed. That the Lord is keeping you.